You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast. We're giving you the best content from each episode of MLB At The Plate. MLB At The Plate airs weekdays from 7 p.m. to midnight Eastern time on TuneIn.
Welcome into the MLB At The Plate podcast. I'm Holden Kushner, and today I'm joined by J.P. Arencibia. We're going to start the podcast out by reacting to the breaking trade news of the night, a waiver wire deal that put a certain American League powerhouse back on the path to the World Series. As Bob Nightingale, friend of the show with USA Today, Indians acquiring Jay Bruce. Okay, they nearly got him at the deadline, and now they have got him from the New York Mets. I absolutely love this move. I've been waiting for a team to figure that they could use a guy with 40 home run power, because that's what Jay Bruce is this year. I think he's sitting on 28 home runs. But Cleveland, with Michael Brantley going down too with that ankle sprain, look at this outfield now. Look at what you can roll out with Jay Bruce and where he fits in this offense. Absolutely love this. The Indians offense to me was the one thing that was a little bit stalled. Forget about it. Cleveland right back in a driver's seat. I was going to talk about this tonight. I still think they're the team to beat in the American League, and Jay Bruce makes them that much better.
Yep, it's exciting. And the only thing, I just hope that that ankle injury is not too bad, because, you know, to go out there and make a move like that, you imagine there's something going on, or maybe they just wanted to get that much better. So I'm excited. But what happens when Brantley comes back?
Well, let's look at the lineup then, and we can actually go through this kind of as an exercise. So you got Kipnis, Lindor, Ramirez, 1-2-3. I mean, Ramirez could hit fifth too, but Kipnis, Lindor, Ramirez, Encarnacion's your DH. Then you got Carlos Santana. So the outfield right now, you got Austin Jackson, Bradley Zimmer, and then you go with, and they had Almonte and Guyer in for Michael Brantley. So listen, Zimmer's been terrific in center field. Jackson's been out there in right field. I think that you slot him into right field, even though Jackson's having a nice go of it. You put Jackson and Zimmer out there in center field for now, because he's got to take one of those outfield spots. And I think that right field would probably be the place for Jay Bruce right now.
Yeah, and it's just going to – it'll make things a little bit harder for Tito to keep guys fresh.
I'm sure he's fine with that, right?
Of course. It's just – it's a good problem to have. It's just, you know, when Brantley comes back, it's going to be a little crowded.
Well, here's the numbers on Jay Bruce, okay? He's got an 841 OPS, 29 home runs. He's just been crushing the baseball this year. He's got a 321 on base and a 520 slugging. So – here's one of the better hitters in the game. If you don't think he's premier, you haven't been watching him. He's got 20 doubles also. So think about the lineup now and what Tito can do with the lineup on top of that. Again, love the rotation with Kluber and Carrasco's healthy, and looks like Danny Salazar's healthy. Miller will come back, so they got the shutdown 7, 8, and 9 in the bullpen, right? And now you got Kipnis, Lindor, Ramirez, Encarnacion, Bruce, Santana, Michael Brantley when he comes back. Now we're talking about a longer lineup. What do you think this – how much better are the Indians with Jay Bruce?
Well, they just get in the same playing field as offensively as Houston Astros.
You think that good? I'm not going to go that far.
Well, the Astros, yes, they have a lot of guys over double digits, but now you talk about Eddie and Bruce – And Ramirez and Santana, if he gets going, that are all, you know, Santana's a 30-plus home run guy. Edwin is obviously a 40-plus home run guy. I think these become a lot of home runs in a small area of the lineup that will be able to, you know, make some big things happen.
And as we were talking about before the July 31st deadline, again, these are the waiver wire deals now, or the – you know, the non-waiver deals, now you get the teams, these players have to pass through waivers going through all the teams. You know, now I think we see more of these offensive players getting moved, because there are teams that have a need. Maybe the Cubs, you know, the Cubs, it was great that they picked up Alex Avila, but, you know, maybe if the injury is serious to Contreras, maybe they have to go and pick up another catcher now, right? For the Indians to get Jay Bruce, though, this really makes them the favorite again. If you didn't think that they were the favorite in the American League, then I don't know how you don't think this puts them over the top. Let's look out west. Houston, starting pitching issues, bullpen issues, great offense, best offense in the game, 1-9, still better than Cleveland in my estimation. You look at the Central. Is there anybody in the Central that's going to give them a run? No. Kansas City is a flawed team. They're still trying to make a run at it. And then the East, Boston. See, that to me, it's Boston and Cleveland is the matchup I think we're going to see. It's a matchup I want to see again. I want to see it in the American League Championship Series, and I want to see Kluber versus Sale. And I want to see Kluber versus Sale three times if possible. But, you know, you do that, and then look at these two teams, because Cleveland, to me, would have the better rotation. Now, if Price comes back, can he pitch in the playoffs, and can he pitch well? That's the question for Price. But I give the edge, if Carrasco and Salazar are healthy, I give the edge to the Indians. The bullpen, I think that the best closer out there is Craig Kimbrell, but I think the guys leading up to that guy, Cleveland has a better bullpen. I think Cleveland has a better offense, and they got more power. Cleveland, to me, is the best team in the American League. I don't think they've played like it yet. I think this Jay Bruce move is going to move them over the top. And one thing that you have stressed, that when a team makes a move, that front office brings some energy into the clubhouse, and this is going to bring more life into the Cleveland clubhouse.
Yep, and especially if he goes out there and all of a sudden he starts making some things happen out of the gate, this team will feed off that move. But I do agree. I think the Cleveland Indians are definitely the team to beat as of right now in the American League.
Yep, and, you know, it's a team that could definitely contend for a World Series, no doubt about it. Ryder Ryan, pitcher, who was down in A-ball, is going to be going from the Indians to the Mets. So Ryder Ryan, he is a reliever, and in his career in the minors, 73 Ks in 60 innings to go along with 26 walks. So he's a newbie, and we'll see how long it takes for him to pan out. But again, you know, the Indians just made themselves a lot.
You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast, and we'll be right back with more after this.
Stay up to date on the latest news as it happens on TuneIn.
From American politics to global events, get live 24/7 coverage with some of the top news media outlets in the world,
including CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News Radio.
And when breaking news hits, TuneIn keeps you updated with up-to-the-minute reports and analysis on the biggest stories of the day.
Thank you for joining us with this breaking news report. Really appreciate
day
it.
Day or night, get live news coverage from around the world on TuneIn.
This is the MLB At The Plate podcast. Here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and J.P. Arencibia.
Welcome back to the MLB At The Plate podcast. It's now time for the MLB At The Plate Triple Play, where J.P. and I discuss three topics that interest us. During today's Triple Play, J.P. and I discussed the struggling Houston Astros, when or if the Cubs will separate themselves from the rest of the National League Central, and will weigh in on the recently released MLB Players Weekend uniforms and nicknames.
The MLB At The Plate Triple Play.
We touched on the Astros and their issues. Let's dig a little bit deeper into it, starting with their starting rotation. You know, they've lost 7-10, and there's no doubt about it, the Dallas Keuchel situation has to be concerning to this team. He's their ace. He's been on the DL two times. He's been shelled in his three starts, and last night was the worst. 10 hits, 3 walks, 8 runs, 4 innings. McCullers is on the DL, so he looks like he's wearing down a little bit. And luckily for them, you know, Charlie Morton, Colin McHugh will be on tonight. Mike Fiers, these guys have pitched well, but they have to have McCullers and Keuchel going if they've got any chance of making a run at this thing.
Yeah, I mean, those are their two horses. And again, if they're not going deep in the games, they're in trouble because their bullpen has really, really not been as good as it was advertised. And so these guys are even – there's more pressure on them to perform because it's not like they can go out there and have – you know, a bad fourth inning and all of a sudden they can go to the bullpen and shorten the game. They have to be able to stick with their guys as long as possible. And so that puts more pressure on the bullpen, more pressure on them. I mean, there's a lot of things that this kind of trickles down to. So it's an unfortunate time for the Houston Astros. And maybe they see this trouble on the horizon and they think like, okay, well, maybe we do pick up a waiver wire trade.
Yeah, and Justin Verlander's been – he's been named. I mean, the name is out there, and I don't think you stop with Verlander. If you're going to go get a starting pitcher, you better go and get yourself a bullpen arm as well. But it just seemed as though, you know, at the trade deadline, that the Astros came out and said, hey, we're confident with what we have. I don't know how you can be confident right now. I love the fact that their offense continues to mash. They do have the best offense in baseball. They do have Springer coming back tonight. That's terrific. But if you think that you're going to beat a Cleveland or a Boston with the rotation and a bullpen that you have right now, you're just sadly mistaken. I mean, that's a team that could be out in a five-game series with the pitching problems that they have right now.
Yep, and especially, like you said, the hitting is good, but when you're facing a Kluber and you're facing, you know, a Sale, how good is your hitting? I mean, it's probably not going to be great because nobody's going to be great against those guys. Not the best team in baseball is not going to be great. So I just think that you need to be able to really, really concentrate on somehow either – picking up a pitcher. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do. They need to get some help because it's a team that looked destined to just run away and be an absolute, like, freight train is now kind of coming to a halt.
Yeah, I mean, Dodgers-Astros was going to be this amazing World Series, but I just cannot see it happening. Well, here's one good thing, because after the game last night, they asked Keuchel if he felt healthy, and he said, yeah, I feel good. So at least there's that, right? At least there's that. That he's healthy, but that doesn't explain why he's been so bad since coming off the disabled list. I just don't get it. There are some good things going on with this team. Now, the bullpen's not one of them. The bullpen was great the first 2 months. The ERA keeps climbing. I mean, what were we looking at? Somewhere in the fives in June, so ERA in the sixes. Actually, in July, it was in the sixes. You know, this month, they're not good as well. So that has to fix, but then you've got Bregman. I mean, think about what Bregman is doing and adding to this lineup. He was hitting leadoff last night. He has been lights out. So now the lineup that was already really good 1-8 is still really good 1-8 and really 1-9. But in July and August, he's hitting .333 and slugging .667. He has just taken it to another level. Gurriel is crushing a baseball. Now you get Springer back and Correa. Now, I get it, because their offense is going to have to face the Chris Sales and the Corey Klubers. They can be shut down. But when you look at it from the other side, you know, Corey Kluber and Chris Sale are going to be looking at this lineup too, saying, uh-oh, I got to go up against these guys. That's a deep lineup. I do wonder if their offense can beat the best pitchers in the game a couple of times just because the length, the depth, and they could shut you down. Is that possible that they could win a couple of games just with their offense alone?
I don't think so. I don't think so, because in playoffs, when do you see a high-scoring game? I mean, it's rarely a possibility that in a playoff game that somebody's going to score a lot of runs. And listen, I promise you, Chris Sale or Corey Kluber is not going into a game going, oh, my goodness, this lineup is good. They're going, I'm going to mow all these guys down. And that's why these guys are special, is because they're not scared of anybody. They're going to go down there, and they're going to stick it to you and give you everything you have, and you better pack your lunch, because that's why those guys are aces. And then, again, then you look into it, and you go Carrasco or Salazar, whoever's coming in. I mean, these guys are, when they're on, it's tough to beat. And so hitting is a game of failure, and pitching, you really can't fail as much. So that's why pitchers definitely have the upper hand in this, because they're just – it's easier – not easier to pitch, but it's easier to be good at pitching than it is to be a really good hitter.
I just got a text from our buddy Ned Colletti, and he said, I'm beginning to doubt the Cubbies, which I had – even last night he wasn't saying this. Last night we were working together, he said he wasn't doubt. He's beginning to doubt the Cubbies. I've just been waiting for them to take off, but they don't seem to want to separate from the pack. They're only five games over .500. They're 59-54. I'm starting to wonder if they are just who they are at this point. You know, Hendricks, he lasted 4 2/3 innings today. 96 pitches was not efficient enough. Bullpen gave it up with Dunsing and Strope. So what's going on with the Cubs here, JP? Lester Arrieta has been terrific. That's great. Quintana got rocked in San Francisco. He's had a couple of rough outings. We know he hasn't been the same guy as he was last year. He's been hot and cold. So that's their starting pitching. The bullpen, you've had some concerns with. And offensively, their guys are still, you know, Bryant and Rizzo still have OPSs right around 900. They're doing what they need to do. Contreras has been crushing the ball. But something's missing. And I wonder if you have any concerns about this team. Maybe they don't win the division.
I don't think that they're not going to not win a division. I just, my concerns of the team is their bullpen isn't that good. I mean, their bullpen has struggled and has lost a lot of games for them. They tried to go out there and make some additions to it. They made an addition to a starting pitcher. But again, like, it's just, it's, the bullpen hasn't been very consistent for him other than Wade Davis. I mean, again, Edwards was good at the start of the year. He struggled. It's hasn't been a team that's felt as complete as last year for whatever reason that is. And I think that's the toughest part. Listen, are they going to make it to the playoffs? No doubt. I think.
Still a no-doubter.
Yeah, for me, no doubt. This team is too good. And are they going to be able to win in the playoffs? Now, that's the question. I think that this team is built to make it to the playoffs. I just don't know if they're built as well as everybody else that's going to be making it to the playoffs.
You know, I still – in a likelihood, they are going to go to the playoffs, okay? Now, it would be a shock. Would it be 100% total shocking? Oh, my God, I can't believe it didn't happen if they don't go to the playoffs. No, I wouldn't say that, you know, because they haven't shown that they're a great team so far. They've had a couple of spurts. They look good first week and a half or so after the All-Star break. Since then, you know, it's been average. Losing 2-3 in San Francisco, that's ugly. That should not be happening. All right, that's the worst team in baseball. And, yeah, they did face Madison Bumgarner today, but Quintana didn't have that good start. Hendricks not going deep into the games. We've already talked about that. My concern with them now is it's a team that doesn't seem like they have the fire that they had last year. The guys were playing with a lot of smiles and a lot more fun. Again, this is just watching on TV, not being there, but the demeanor doesn't seem like it's the same as last year. It just seems like it's been a battle, but I would be scared to play them in a five-game series if I'm the Nationals, because I don't want to have to go up against Lester, who is one of the best playoff pitchers of his generation. I don't have to deal with Arrieta, and I don't want to have to deal with Bryant and Rizzo, either one of those guys or both those guys getting hot at the same time. If they make it, they've got the talent to make the run. The question now is, do they make it? You know, is 10 games over 500 going to win it? Can you win the division at 88 wins? Well, that's probably going to get it done. So that means either St. Louis or Milwaukee or Pittsburgh's going to have to get red hot. The only reason why we're saying that they're going to go to the playoffs is because of the division they're in. Because if they were in the East, no way. If they're in the West, forget about it. And they're not even a playoff team in a wild card race.
Two teams out West are better. Yeah, but that's why even when I commented throughout the show previously in times, talking to my buddy in the front office, was talking about the trades and if they were worried. They were like, no, our division stinks. We'll be fine. And so I think the division isn't the best. I mean, do they stink? I don't think they stink, but you're right. I think if you're talking about any other division, they're in trouble because they haven't played well, but fortunate for them, they are in a division where they are the best team.
Well, I'll say this then. I mean, that kind of attitude, I don't want to hear that kind of attitude if I'm the Cubs. Because if the players start thinking, our division stinks, we can just go out there and it'll be handed to us, that's bad. That's the last thing that I want to hear if I'm Joe Maddon or someone in the front office. I do not want my guys thinking, we're going to do it because our division stinks. You know, you're going to have to do it because you're better than those other teams. And if that's the way, and it seems like that's the way they've been playing to this point. They're a little over 110 games of the season. They've been playing like the rest of the division stinks and they can just get by on talent. They can't do that and expect that they're going to get to the playoffs. Not with these other teams just hanging in there. Not with Milwaukee just hanging around. Not with St. Louis all of a sudden hanging around. And not with the Pirates hanging around. Again, those three teams, I don't think either one, any of those teams are very good. I take that back. I think Milwaukee's starting pitching is terrific. What I don't like is their offense and a closer by committee, which is what they've gone to now. Their rotation's keeping them in this thing. And Chase Anderson will be back before long, too. So I think starting pitching can keep them in, and they need to acquire a bat, which is why Kinsler would be a godsend for them. But if the Cubs are just going to play five games over 500 from here on out, that is going to allow the rest of the division. That's going to allow one team to get hot and give them a run right down to the wire. And I would not be comfortable with that if I am Theo Epstein. I don't like it.
I agree with you. I don't think that they feel comfortable necessarily right now because of where they're at. And their team is good, but is it good in standards of the playoffs? And that's what I don't think that they're well built for the playoffs because their bullpen, you cannot, like, runs will be at a premium. And unless they expect to throw Wade Davis the last three innings of the game like they did to Chapman, I think that they're going to be in trouble come playoff time.
Hey, let's talk about this Players Weekend coming up here, JP, because when they talked about it in spring training, I said, this is going to be a great idea. This is what baseball needs. We need to connect with younger people. They're going to love it, absolutely love it. And Players Weekend, basically, the players are allowed to – they make new jerseys. They're these they really are. Some of them are very cool-looking. Some of them are not good-looking. But some of them are just really neat. The Marlins, their teal and orange jersey is something that I wish that they would actually go to because it's so much better than their jerseys right now. They'll have nicknames on the back. You got specialized cleats and socks. It's just going to be fun. It'll be a nice – something different that Major League Baseball is doing. And they saw the NBA do it, and it worked. Thought the NBA, it worked. Kids like it. I think this is going to be great. I'm all about getting kids involved in this game. How excited would you be if you were playing right now and this was coming up for you?
I mean, it would be awesome because, again, you watch the other sports do it and they have fun with it. It's a cool thing. There's a lot of nicknames. I mean, you've been in clubhouses. How many times does somebody get called by their name? I mean, very rare does somebody get called by their name. Everyone has a nickname. So it's cool that they get to experience it. And plus, these uniforms are way cooler than when you have to put on the 1920 retro uniforms that are cotton and they're terrible.
Well, let's look at some of the names, too. The best one, by far, is Kyle Seager. Because on the back of Kyle Seager's jersey, his nickname is going to be Corey's brother. I mean, how great of a sense of humor do you have to have to be Corey's brother on the back of your jersey? Love it.
I mean, it's great. And to even think, I mean, he only is making over $100 million in a contract. So, and I'm just the other brother.
Yeah, I love that. I love that sense of humor there. I'm trying to figure out what Hunter Pence is doing. Do you know what Hunter Pence is doing here with the players? With the Players Weekend, because it's just I can't even pronounce the name that he has that's on there.
I don't even know what it is.
It's weird. I'll try and do it for you. But the Giants have some really cool ones. Oh, here it is. Wawindaji. What does that mean?
I mean, that's, dude, Hunter Pence is a freaking different bird.
I don't know. I wonder if it means something really weird or vile. I'm not sure what it is, but who knows? I also need to know if all the players came up with this or if just some people said, here, you take this name. Because did Aaron Judge go, all right, I'm going to put All Rise on the back of my jersey? Or did someone from the Yankees come down and say, hey, here's a good idea for marketing. Why don't you put All Rise back there?
I don't know, but here one that's funny for me is Eddie Romero. His last name says Hernandez. His weekend, Players Weekend, says Hernandez. So it's funny because it's like – yeah, it's funny because, one, he's Dominican, so you know that it's like, well, wait a second, is that your real name? And then, you read more, and it says his full name is Eni Manuel Hernandez Romero, so that's why he's throwing out there Hernandez for this one game. But I think it's pretty funny that it's like you're going with another name that if just the stereotype, you know what guys are thinking right away, like, well, that's not his real name.
Here's a rumor. Well, actually, it's not a rumor. Sung Min Kim on Twitter. He is a Korean baseball fan, and he says he interpreted the nickname for one Eric Thames. And Eric Thames' name on his back is Sang Nam Ja, which is badass in Korean.
That's cool.
Huh?
That's cool.
He's going to be badass in Korean. I like that one. I don't think Major League Baseball would have allowed badass, but they're going to go with this one, and hopefully they'll let him keep it right now. Tyler Duffy is the Doof. Josh Fegley, player to be named later, PTBNL. I like that. That's a little bit of a play on himself. He's taking himself a little less seriously. and Tommy Tuttle for Tommy Hunter. Your boy Tommy Hunter.
I don't get the Tuttle though.
Tommy Tuttle.
I do like. You know who I like is Scherzer's blue eye.
Blue eye. That's right.
He's got one blue eye.
I like that. Again, I will be interested to see if it's the players that ended up doing this, that all the players decided to do it, or if some, you know, the team just got involved in a few of them and said, okay, you try this. You try this.
What's your favorite jersey out of all the ones? Because I'm looking at them. I mean, the Marlins is pretty cool.
Seattle one.
The Seattle one is actually pretty cool itself. The Tigers one is terrible.
Well, I'll tell you my favorite one because I love the old White Sox jerseys. I love the White Sox one. Just
ooh, the Reds. The Reds is nice too.
You like that?
The Reds is it got a little throwback Reds piece. But that I think it's a great idea. It'll sell some jerseys, and it's actually a jersey. Like I would wear a jersey like this. I would never put on a normal jersey. Because of just, you know, you play in it forever. I would put on a one of these jerseys for fun.
Yeah, I think it's terrific. And I really do. There are some that it's tough to read the print on it. I don't even care. I'm not here to rip any of this. This is a great idea. And again, the Marlins have always had some of the ugliest jerseys in baseball. Always. Their jersey for Players Weekend is awesome. And I highly recommend it that they change it to that. I think the Pirates with the black and the yellow, that looks really cool too. Really big fan of the Pirates jerseys coming up for that. So, again, if you want to check it out, just go to MLB.com and they've got it out there.
You're listening to the MLB At The Plate podcast, and we'll be right back with more after this. There's hits, and then there's all-time rock classics from the 60s and 70s. With classic rock hits on TuneIn, relive the very best sounds that defined an entire generation. If I ever get out of here, thought of giving it all away. Listen to the greatest rock songs in history with classic rock hits on TuneIn. So you think you can snow me and And now, more of the MLB At The Plate podcast. Here are your hosts, Holden Kushner and J.P. Arencibia.
There were 15 games on Wednesday, and to bring you up to speed on all the action, we got the best day ever, Home Run Tracker, and statistically speaking.
Best day ever on MLB At The Plate.
Who's your pitcher, J.P.? Where are you going here?
He's a young guy, another one of the young guys that are making hay in this league. He is new to the league, Justin Verlander. He went 8 innings, 1 hit, 3 walks, 6 punch-outs, no runs. Justin Verlander, my best day ever.
I'm going to go with Bartolo Colon. He threw 7 shutout innings. He backs up a complete game 4-run effort by going 7 shutout against the Brewers tonight. Gave up 5 hits, struck out 5, walked 1. Here's the interesting thing about this. He picked up his 237th win. Win number 237. He's tied 59th all-time with Clark Griffith. Clark Griffith was a pitcher. He later bought the Washington Senators, who are now the Minnesota Twins. So it all comes full circle with Bartolo. Bartolo is also 14 wins away from Bob Gibson. At the plate, best day ever. Who is it?
Another young guy, fresh into the league, Ryan Zimmerman, first baseman, Washington Nationals. 4 at-bats, 4 runs scored, 4 hits, 5 ribbies, 1 walk. So he was on every single time he got to the plate tonight, and he went deep twice, and he is hitting a cool 310 and his OPS around getting close to 950. Dude is back.
Yes, he is, and he's back in a big way. I'm going with another old dude, Yadier Molina. So the situation was this. Kansas City had a 5-4 lead over the Cardinals in the bottom of the sixth inning. A cat ran onto the field in the middle of the Molina at bat. It was picked up by a groundskeeper. It bit the groundskeeper. It scratched the groundskeeper. The crowd was in a frenzy. And the next pitch, Molina hit a grand slam, and boom, they win the game 8-5. It's his one hit. It drove in 4. Best day ever, Yadier Molina. Speaking of home runs, let's track them all.
MLB at the Plate Home Run Tracker.
Lots today. We had afternoon action. Joey Gallo blasted one 383 feet, 102 off the bat. Alexi Amarista, Francisco Lindor, Wilmer Flores all going deep as well. Corey Seager's brother Kyle, and I say that because he's going to have that on the back of his jersey on Players Weekend. Kyle Seager, the Mariners, 420, 103 exit velo. Matt Joyce hit one 422. Charlie Blackman's game winner in the top of the 12th inning against the Indians. Went 397 and 104 off the bat. Wellington Castillo, Albert Almora Jr. going deep. Almora Jr.'s went 388, but he hit at 109 exit velo. Fastest exit velo today. Nelson Cruz's second home run. It went 115 miles an hour. It also was the longest home run of the day, 450 feet. His first homer went 436, 112. His second, 450 and 115 exit velocity. Chris Davis with a K with the A's, 403, 107 off the bat. CJ Cron smoked one, 113 off the bat, 436. Hunter Pence, Gary Sanchez both went deep. Ryan Zimmerman's first home run, he smoked at 110 miles an hour, 412 feet. His second went 363. Todd Frazier, 412 for the Yankees up at Rogers Center tonight. Ian Kinsler, Didi Gregorius, Eugenio Suarez, and Brian Dozier all going yard. So Dozier hit a grand slam yesterday, hit a solo shot tonight, 393. Stuart Turner, Jose Bautista, Manuel Margot going yard. Will Myers hit one 379. Danny Echevarria of the Rays, 369. Brad Miller, his teammate, 445-foot blast, 110 off the bat. Tim Anderson hit one 381. Jose Martinez of the Cardinals, 108 exit velocity, 419 in feet. Cody Bellinger, Melky Cabrera, all going deep. Yadier Molina's grand slam went 387, 105 exit velo. Derek Fisher, the rookie with the Astros, hit one 366. Paul Goldschmidt's blast, 109 exit velo, 443 in feet. Let's look a little deeper into the numbers.
Statistically speaking,
JP, check this one out here. Jay Bruce traded to the Indians. This season, he has 29 home runs, tied for fourth in the National League. This season, Indians outfielder, 37 home runs for the whole outfield, 25th in baseball. So you don't think this is going to help that offense? I think it will.
I agree. And I mean, even if they were hitting home runs, this still is a huge addition.
Yeah, the guy's on pace to hit 40 home runs this year. Cody Bellinger, 33rd home run of the year. He's too shy of Tyon Piazza's rookie record for the Dodgers. Too shy of Mike Piazza's Dodgers rookie record. Ryan Zimmerman, third Nats player with four hits, four runs, four ribbies in a game this season. All other teams have done it five times combined. Rick Porcello, immaculate inning. K'd the side on nine pitches. Red Sox only team to do it multiple times this season. Craig Kimbrell did it May 11th. Yankees 16-0 when they hit three or more home runs this season. With his victory today against Pittsburgh, Justin Verlander 29-5 in interleague play. Charlie Blackman's 12th inning home run Wednesday was his 44th since August 1st of 2016, tied for second most in baseball with Chris Davis. Can you believe that? Charlie Blackman has the second most home runs over the last 365. And Yadier's fifth career grand slam, second most by a catcher in Cardinals history. That's it for the MLB at the Plate podcast. Make sure to join us on MLB on TuneIn at 7 Eastern each weeknight for MLB at the Plate. During the daily five-hour show, you'll not only hear all of what you heard in the podcast, you also have the chance to listen to listen live to the games and get the action as it happens. For Ryan and Dustin in the LA studio, and alongside me, JP Arencibia, my name's Holden Kushner. We'll catch you mañana.
Thank you for listening to the MLB at the Plate podcast. Catch us every weeknight on TuneIn, where we take you around Major League Baseball with live listenings, analysis, player interviews, and much more. Plus, be sure to check out our other great content on TuneIn, featuring the very best in sports, music, news, and talk. On TuneIn, get caught up in the moment with more than 100,000 music stations and 5 million podcasts from around the world. Exclusive sports content, including live MLB and NFL, NBA, and NHL games and 24/7 news coverage from CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News Radio. Tune in, your everything audio app.